Hello, you're listening to a spoiler-filled film conversation. Hooray!
Tie your dicks in a knot. It's podcast
Oh,
time.
I don't even have one, and I feel. Ooh.
What's one of the others? Like, chewing bubble gum with your anus, was it? He said something like that. It's as difficult as, would that be the simile? I don't know. What, I can't remember quite why he brought up chewing gum with your anus, but old James Wood had some phrases in this one, didn't he? Anyway, don't agree with me then, everyone. Anyway, welcome to the podcast. This is Spoiler-Filled Film Conversation, hooray. I am the host, Richard. With me to do a chat about films full of spoilers is Abby,
Hello.
Anthony,
Hello.
and Jamie.
AOE, New York.
Jamie is a classically trained actor. And bloody acting the goat is what he bloody acts in there, fucking hell.
Japan. I love 90s New York movies. I'll be doing this for the whole episode.
Really made me want a hot dog with chips and loads of ketchup
What
and
the
Miss
fuck?
Mustard.
What? Oh.
And
Oh, we'll get.
served in some inexplicable junkyard in New York. You know, the old
I.
junkyard hot dog
Honestly, this is
restaurant.
that might be the only part of this film that I really want to talk about.
I mean, it's fine. We don't have, even have to introduce the film and the credits. Just let's talk hot dog phones and James Woods making calls on a hot dog phone in a scrapyard in New York with too much relish. I mean, what's? I mean, that's it, really. That's I don't know. And a few actual chips, guys, not fries. Chips in America. Who knew? So that was my literal big takeaway from this film. Fun stuff. Anyway, in case that foreshadowing isn't enough to clear up what we're talking about on this week's podcast, Anthony, can you give the details of the film that we're here to have a chinwag about?
I certainly can. Okay, so this week we are watching The Hard Way. It was released in 1991. It's a buddy cop action comedy movie about a Hollywood actor played by Michael J. Fox who wants to shadow a gritty New York cop played by James Wood in order to get more meatier film roles, I guess. It was directed by John Badham, written by Daniel Pine, or Pin, and Lem Dobbs, with the story also by Michael Kozel. And it also stars, as well as Michael J. Fox and James Wood, Stephen Lang, Annabella Sciorra.
One
I've
more
always said
time.
that right. Annabella Sciorra, John Cavendish, Delroy
Yeah.
Lindo, Luis Guzman, LL Cool J, Penny Marshall, Christina Ricci, Kathy Najimy, and apparently Lewis Black was in there somewhere, as well as Mos Def.
Was he?
Really?
Was he one of
Apparently.
the teens or something?
I have no idea.
I didn't spot him.
Yeah, apparently Fabio was there too somewhere.
Who's Fabio?
What?
Is he someone who had like came second in X Factor or something?
Fucking all right, this is, we'll have to talk about off the podcast
Is
because
he like
I'll
a
be here
rapper or
forever.
something? What's the
No,
next?
he's a like bodice ripper romance novel model.
Oh yeah, I know all them, all the
He was quite
famous.
famous at the time.
No, like he's famous. He is a the famous one. He's like a buff
Bagwell.
guy with like long hair. You've seen him. Like
All
if you
right.
saw a
Well, I
picture of
saw him
him,
in
you'd be
this
like,
film,
oh, him,
apparently.
okay.
All right,
You
yeah.
didn't, because I didn't. And I was keeping my eye out for a buff, topless man with long, beautiful hair.
Lou bread in hand.
But and he also in recent years, or I say recent years, probably like a fucking decade or more ago now, famous for being hit in the face by a seagull on a ride. Or was it a seagull? I don't know what kind of bird it was, but
Okay. Good.
Also has a cameo in The Exorcist 3 as an angel.
Are you like a Fabio aficionado?
Apparently I am. I'm just learning this about myself now.
Okay. Aww, you saw that in real time.
This is coming out of the closet for some model day.
I'm going to talk to my wife after this podcast, I think.
Can you put your hair in a ponytail and... Yeah, that's it. No. Get hit in the face with a big bird? Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, you described, Anthony, there, a plot that is not dissimilar to the film Showtime. Yet, we did not watch the Eddie Murphy and Leonardo, not fucking Robert De Niro movie, Showtime.
It's just calling Leonardo.
I was just supposed.
Well, Martin Scorsese, it's the 1A and 1B of his favourite guys, isn't they? Aren't they?
So,
but this is Showtime, right? The premise for Showtime, the more famous one.
Hold on, this is the premise of about 17 films from this era.
Doing a ride along is probably in more than one film, obviously. But this is the film's premise is buddy cop movie where one's an annoying actor going on cases with a curmudgeonly serious detective. Say serious. What James Woods in this is insane. Is it James Wood or James Woods?
Woods. Says
Woods with an S, right? So, what's the deal, Anthony? You not seen Showtime? And you're like, yeah.
I've seen it. I'm pretty sure I went to the cinema to see Showtime, Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, no, that's it, old, or Jesus Christ, it's terrible?
It's terrible.
I think I've seen it twice, and I think I liked it the first time, and then I rewatched it and went, oh, what did I like about this?
Then you watched many other films. And then you were like, oh.
I see. There's a sliding scale of terrible.
But yeah, I found this film, in a bargain bin many years ago.
Where it belongs.
I don't know about that.
Did you find it the easy way or the hard way? Was it a big, deep rummage, or did it fall into your lap?
Well, I was just like, you know what? Other than the Back to the Future films, I haven't really watched much with Michael J. Fox in.
Same.
What about, is it Spin City?
The Paramount? Nope. I was about to bring up Spin City. I was going to say, you never watched Spin City.
That's not a film.
I quite enjoyed it, though. No, it's not a film.
The only other film I can think of is The Frighteners that he's in. But, no one's seen that.
Jamie, you had a suggestion, did you, of something we might have seen with him in?
Oh, the sitcom that made him famous before Back to the Future. Full House?
Family Ties.
Or Family Ties. Okay, Family Ties.
Has anyone seen
it? But yeah, I remember finding it. I was like, I have never heard of this film, and seemingly, I think I got it 15, 20 years ago, something like that. And I have never seen this film mentioned anywhere. And I quite like it. I think it's, it's not great, but it's a solid film, which is not hilariously funny, but constantly a little funny.
It's definitely trying to entertain. I don't know that I was amused by it, but it's got action and jokes that'll appeal to sort of certain kinds of people. Or dads, as they're known sometimes.
And just on paper, this film really shouldn't have anything. But I think Michael J. Fox and James Woods are definitely in it. You know what I mean? We're going for this kind of thing.
They're trying to make it into a fun action comedy.
They do have pretty good chemistry.
Which is weird because their characters hate each other is the idea. So they play off each other well. Michael J. Fox is meant to be the annoying one, and James Woods is meant to be the long suffering real cop. So there's a lot of arguing, and you know, at times it's amusing, but mostly I would say it airs on the side of not quite funny enough, shall we say. I guess more... They're all right. Like, I don't want to get into how much I like or dislike it. I just think this doesn't feel like a very professional film. It feels like not everyone's... It doesn't feel like a really brilliant movie. It feels like... I don't know. Maybe it's just...
I know what you mean. I wouldn't put it with the greats. No. And you can see kind of why it's fallen into obscurity. But I still think it's a solidly good film.
Okay. Like, I think have we gone straight to final thoughts?
I wonder if I fell asleep.
This is why I'm looking forward to you guys.
Yeah, Anthony's saying, it's not his final thought, it's that he liked it and he presented it. Not that it's garbage, you should suffer with me, which is how I would have presented it. It's this terrible buddy cop film. They thought they were so funny and they're just irritating and a bit too fucking awful. I think about the main thing that I when I was watching it, cause I hadn't seen it before either. Not either. You'd seen it. You'd found it. I'd watched it this time for the first time. And I was surprised how badly it would go down with younger audiences because it's so full of cops being absolutely terrible. Like, literally screaming to shoot people, beating... Like, there's a scene where James Woods, unprovoked, goes in and hits black teenagers with a baseball bat and pulls them.
It's weird that, like, we grew up in an era of, like, you know, we're all, like, born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, so particularly when we were very young, there were a lot of films like this where, like, you know, the bad cop gets results kind of thing.
Yes.
Gradually became, we'll just kill everyone in the room and not actually get any results or do anything constructive.
I think one of the things that goes for this movie for me is that they're presenting a lot of the tropes of those kind of films, but in a more realistic way.
Yeah, I that was my main problem with this is I wish it leaned more into that and like the comedy of it. Like there's a really like biting, cynical, dark comedy buried under like very like tropey, typical 90s buddy cop stuff.
I think what's weird is you're meant to like both of them, and it kind of the fact James Woods is a pseudo Dirty Harry, get things done, do it your way, man, like, you know, he's just your classic dickhead Republican-y cop, and then Michael J. Fox is a kind of cowardly, thespy, un-street smart guy. Are we meant to hate the actor or hate the cop, and we're meant to like both of them because they're pals, but they're not pals, they hate each other, and I love, like, you know, but I was like, wait, are we meant to root for one over the other, or we're meant to like both, and in a way they kind of are both awful, you know,
but I think
that's the past, isn't it? That's how that works.
I think Nick's character actually had some growth. So, by the end, he wasn't anywhere near as bad as he was at the beginning. But I can't say the same thing for John, unfortunately.
It's like the film doesn't know.
Well, let's clarify. Who's Nick and who's John? Because we're going to obviously just mainly refer to them as Michael J. Fox and James Woods.
Nick is Michael J. Fox. John is James Woods.
Because John is the classic cop name. Of course, it's John.
Yeah.
John James. So, JJ. Okay?
That's fine. Anyway, Abby, before we were getting into the discussion a little prematurely, just to clarify, had you seen this before? Had you heard of it? Had you rummaged through a bin and found it before?
I have a feeling I saw this on television at some point, but not in a purposeful way. Just in a kind of, like, skipping through channels. Oh, what's this thing? Watch it for a bit. Move on.
Sure. Oh, look, a car flipped. Cool, I guess I'll stick around. That kind of thing. But no, you hadn't, like, You didn't remember it beginning to end or anything?
No. Just every now and again I was like, oh, this is familiar.
I know you're a big Back to the Future fan. Most people like Back to the Future, in fairness. It's not saying much. But like you, you know, was it, you look forward to adding some Jay Fox to your life?
Well, yeah, like Anthony, I hadn't actually seen that many, like maybe three. But I did find him, but I do find him quite charismatic as an actor. I do like him. So I was trying to think, it's like, is it that he didn't make many, or is it that I just haven't seen them? And it turns out he made enough, and some of them just didn't really.
Some of them count that I've seen that.
Sorry?
The Stuart Little count, because I've seen that.
I've seen that as well, but I mean, of course it counts. His voice is the mouse, right? Is he the mouse?
Yeah.
He is little. He could have stunt double for the mouse, based on his size. Oh, bloody James Woods gives him a hard time in this. I mean, at the end of the film, he's like, oh, he's much smaller in real life. Ha ha ha. But he is tiny, though. Casualties of War, has anyone seen that? It's good. Good drama. Like, it's not like him. He's not like surfing on tanks in World War II or something fun. Like, he's playing.
It's just a Vietnam movie. No,
it's Vietnam.
I think it's
been a while since I've seen it. I just lump it in with all the war films. Men dying and wearing green in the forest or something. They're all the same, aren't they? Oh, the soldiers are dying. I do like war films, but I don't like war. That's my
hot take. It's by Brian De Palma. So it's on a little bit of a tightrope for...
What? For being excellent. Loved it, Brian De Palma.
No, with Brian De Palma, he's sort of like... Sometimes it can be a little bit too macho, but not usually.
So,
and macho. Sometimes, likewise, sort of being a bit stupid. Like, if he manages to stay on the tightrope, it's absolutely fine.
I think we've talked about this before, about how Brian De Palma sounds like a director, like... Francis Ford Coppola or Martin Scorsese, where like you're like, oh yeah, this is going to be like a serious, just, like manly guys drama, like The Godfather or something, and it ends up being a cartoon every time. Like he makes surprisingly over the top, like colourful, kind of wild films, and yeah, for some reason that's not what you think when you hear the name.
It's because Scarface makes that a virtue, and some of his other films are. Struggling more to make that work. I like Brian De Palma, and we're not talking about Casualties of War, we're talking about The Hard Way.
Much less cartoonish and exciting and interesting film than a Brian De Palma.
Well, getting back on point though, so Jamie, have you heard or seen this before?
I had never heard of this. Usually, being the fucking disgusting nerd that I am, I've at least vaguely heard of a film, especially when it's got like actors in it who I like, or in James Woods' case, have a difficult relationship with in terms of liking their work and not liking them as a person. I'll usually know a shitload of stuff that they've been in, including, you know, things like this that no one else remembers, but no, this one is just... I just had no idea this existed. Also, as a 90s kid, like I mentioned, who was obsessed with, like, Americana in the 90s, I was a huge fan of Michael J. Fox. And I still am. Like, I wanted this film, if nothing else... reminded me of how like fun he was to watch when it was, he's not dead, but like you know, when he was able to act more often and, you know, put as much as he does into, because he was always in every film he was in, he was always just at 100% all the time, but he also doesn't quite have the same like exhausting energy as someone like Jim Carrey where you're like, you know, you watch one film with Jim Carrey where he's like full wacky and you're like, all right, that's enough for a while, I think.
Whereas with Michael J. Fox, you can sit there and watch all three Back to the Future films in a day. Like, it's...
His charisma is on a lower level and less infuriating.
But he's still very, like, jumpy and energetic.
I think it's because he's literally smaller than Jim Carrey, and therefore he's like a little puppy. You can't be mad at him, but the Pink Panther fucking around in your face. Not big, big gangly man, more irritating.
I was obsessed with Back to the Future as a kid, and I have seen The Frighteners, which is very good, very strong.
Underrated. Film.
Yes, very much so. Maybe I'll put it up as a choice one day, and Rich will fucking hate every second of it. That was the appeal for me, was that, like, oh, a Michael J. Fox film that I've never heard of. And also, he was also in Lil Nas X's music videos as Marty McFly in like 2020.
Okay. They must have time traveled to make it work.
But I also didn't realize he was Canadian. And yeah, also James Woods, which is like a sort of a John Voight situation.
Yeah, like the man's body of work and his performances, but you find out about the real man and you're like, fucking hell, mate, calm down.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Especially when, like, his excellent guest spot in The Simpsons back in the day.
Yeah, in Family Guy, right?
When he's, yeah.
Like, following
the weird version of himself.
Yeah.
And is
kind of parodying this film, actually, where he's the actor.
Oh, yeah. And also Hades in Hercules.
Yeah.
And will appear in anything. He's in all the fucking Kingdom Hearts games as Hades, like...
Weird.
And then you find out what he's like in real life, and you're like...
Yeah.
Well...
But then he is a prick in his films. Like, in Casino, he's that sleazy pimp, is he? And, he's a dickhead in... Lots of stuff. I mean,
I think when you see like that, the Family Guy appearances, but in particular the Simpsons appearance, which was in the early 90s. He's obviously like, it seems like he's changed a lot as a person since then.
As a fan of his,
well, no, I mean like for the worse, he's changed.
I mean like you maybe he was always a prick and you don't know.
Maybe no, yeah, but I mean when you see like that appearance in the Simpsons in particular, like when someone has.
Kind of.
Yes, a sense of humor about themselves. You assume, I guess, good things about them, and then when it turns out to not be the case, you're like, "Oh, that's a shame."
Yeah, I feel similarly about him. Like, oh, I appreciate, like, he's good at what he does, but I don't tell me about the real him.
Please don't look at his Twitter. Ever. It's also just got a lot of hey, it's that guy, hey, it's that woman, hey, it's this person, like it's a absolute fucking buffet of those kinds of actors, including Stephen Lang, who is actually maybe like low-key the highlight of the film, because I don't know what the fuck he's doing with this character, or what, or where these decisions came from, but he's really enjoying himself in this. But yeah, this is something that was off my radar, but it's definitely one of your childhood friend's dad's favorite films that he has on a well-worn VHS.
Yeah, it's definitely dad territory.
This is also one of those films that makes me think of, like, imagine watching this in the cinema.
It feels like the movie that would be in a movie, like, which is weird, because this movie has a movie that's within a movie, because Michael J. Fox's character is an actor in this world. But this genuinely wouldn't be out of place in just a proper action cop movie, going, like, you know, like how 21 Jump Street or something references... they did all their sequels. But, like, films chuck in the sort of film that would exist in their universe. And this feels like that. Like we've watched something from within a film.
Yeah.
Yeah, then, but then it's got its own, like, what was it, Smoking Gun with two N's? Two?
Yeah, his, like, Michael J. Fox's, like, shit Indiana Jones knockoff character that he does.
What was the fucking, what was the tagline for Smoking Gun 2? Like, you never look a good, never look a good gun down or something?
Sick. Just some absolute, it's a good, good parody of a, like an 80s, 90s action movie trailer.
Well, in that it looked like both Bond and Indiana Jones, but somehow 1,000 times cheaper and awful. I liked how they kept cutting to the same dragon statue breathing fire because they'd bothered to make that prop, and therefore it's going to make into this film several times. Would anyone want to see Smoking Gun 2? I mean, I might watch Smoking... The original Smoking Gun is the one to watch. Smoking Gun 2, they've become a parody of what they was good about Smoking
Gun. I mean,
Smoking
you say Gun. That. You don't even like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you freak.
What? I'm not asking that. Would you watch Indiana Jones movies? I'm saying, would you guys be up for a bit of Smoking Gun 2?
Yes. We've watched things that looked worse.
Yeah, I was about to say we've watched Romance in the Stone. We've watched things worse.
Yeah,
Smoking Gun looks like it would be fun.
I'm trying to second guess who would be in Smoking Gun that didn't make the trailer. I'm thinking like Billy Zane probably in Smoking Gun 2. I don't know. Yeah, okay. So this film is essentially not quite a fish out of water. It's buddy cops, so. It's buddy cops, but like the premise is Michael J. Fox is a what's his name, Nick, do you say? What's his surname, Nick something?
Lang.
Nick Lang. That's the fictional version. Like Michael J. Fox is playing a shitter actor than he is in real life in this world. He is a successful I guess he feels like a sort of Tom Cruise type actor or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a parody of himself a little bit as little, well. I think that's like, just how he's playing it.
It though. Feels like Nick Lang has a better career in that world than Michael J. Fox has in the real world.
I mean, Michael J. Fox was never like an action movie star.
Sure, but it feels like they're pitching him as like he's a big name, but he's a bit of a vacuous celebrity as well.
I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. I think Tom Cruise is a pretty good comparison.
For what they're going for, I guess. Maybe a little more, but...
Tiny, energetic action movie star.
Yeah. But he is just an already successful celebrity actor looking... He's got a beef. What's his problem that he wants... Why does he want to become a cop? He wants to be better at acting or something?
Yeah, he wants more, like, meaty, serious roles because he just does these, like, nonsense action movies.
Right.
And he wants to be an actor.
An actor, and so he's got in his mind that some aggressive New York cop does he make the news or something?
So, yeah, the James Woods' cop character, John Moss, has an ongoing, not rivalry.
He does have a sort of rivalry with the criminal. Like he
has a nemesis. The party crasher, Stephen Lang, is his, like, is his the Batman and the Joker that like makes the news, and Michael J. Fox sees James Woods making an angry speech about it, and he's like, that's it, that's what I need to be to for this whatever. He's going for a part, and the thing that I thought was funny, speaking of good actors who are shit people, a couple of call outs to Mel Gibson in this movie.
Yeah, James Woods' character, big fan.
Yeah, I bet.
So John Moss, he's real world cop. That was me, I was doing quotation marks. I tried to infer it, but I realised that's a visual thing. But John Moss is a real cop in New York, supposedly after the serial killer, as you mentioned. They call him the party crasher, that's like what the term for him is. Bellend.
Yeah.
Murderous Bellend.
Okay.
goofball terrorist. What does everyone terrorist. Think
Stephen Lang is trying to do?
Take the
film?
Piss entirely? Anthony, are you a Lang fan in this movie? Is that like a selling point for why you like this?
I mean, I do up until a point. I feel like there's a point in the film where it's like, okay, like they're going full crazy with this guy, and I'm into that. But then that never really materializes.
There's one bit where he says that Michael J. Fox, or rather Nick Lang's movie suck, and then he hits his head against the steering wheel of the car and runs away. And you're like, really? That's like, bomb, fuck you, I'm getting it, and he frees himself. But then in other moments, he's sort of dousing himself and his hostage in petrol and goading James Woods. And he does go bananas, but in a kind of... It does kind of underwhelm sometimes, because it doesn't go anywhere.
And it makes sense. Like, it's not necessarily his story, and he doesn't really need a big part in it.
No.
So there's only, like, really two ways you can go with it. It's either, like, really threatening.
Yes.
Or just absolutely a goofball.
Yeah, wackadoodle.
But they do both.
Yes.
Well, it's just that thing of, yeah, if it's not about him, that's the point of the film. The film doesn't want it to be about him. So at that point, it's like, well, why even have him as a constant villain? Why not just have many different villains or an overarching, more plausible thing to investigate than just a silly man who makes phone calls, tells the cops he's going to do a murder now, and then does an insane murder, and then just gets away because, you know... Oh, walk with the crowd away. That's fine.
What was his MO? Because like we only see him kill a drug dealer in the club and a transvestite in the streets, and I don't know what the connection is.
He thinks he'd be a better cop than James Woods.
Yeah,
he says
sort
that
of a vigilante.
He thinks he's. I guess.
So what did the transvestite do?
Well, do I have to spell it out for you? just bloody trying to use a bloody woman's toilets, probably.
Ask James Woods, and he'll be happy to tell you why that should be a crime.
But also, it's implied that he shot an innocent girl as well as these innocent criminals. So he's happy to, you know, break a few eggs making the omelette of murdering people I don't like because reasons. So I'm a mentally ill person, and I think I'm a cool vigilante, and I'm just having some fun. And this is quite weird when he records. James Woods realizes the press will when they're like wanting to get interviews from the police. He's initially James Woods doesn't want to be interviewed, and then he realized he can basically talk to the killer by leaving a message, goading him, being like, "You're fucking shit, mate. You shit. You probably did the Michael J. Fox thing of calling him a chicken, basically."
that's basically what it is.
You're shit. If I was a killer on the loose, I'd be fucking much better. And then the guy sees it, records it, and plays it back, and is kind of excited and pissed off with James Woods being
me to you. And then it's like, what is happening?
Well, yeah, and also, how did you get your foreign? how did he get his fucking VHS tape to do that? Like that. You recorded the TV and you can play it back and play it again. What button is that?
I guess he's a coding genius or something, because he's made his own video game with James Woods.
Oh, fucking hell, was that video game?
I love that little video game. He had done it. He must have done it in the same session, like in one session, because it had the face mask that he was wearing at the time he was doing.
Why was he wearing that face mask? What's happening? Who is this man?
Give this guy. If this guy had lived 10 years later, he would have been a hit on Newgrounds. He would have been making all the Flash games that would have entertained
Osama bin Laden with the shooting him with a Duck Hunt style game.
Yeah, he would have. He was just out of his time. He could have channeled all that negativity into becoming a fucking 4chan hero.
I don't tell at various points, especially in the early parts of the films, if he was supposed to be foreign or not.
Well, I don't think... Just wacky, I think. Because he's got that dyed blonde hair, and he's a bit... He's dialed up a bit in cockiness.
I think Stephen Lang is just blonde.
Blanket, no, but like... Not, he's not dyed blonde, does he?
I did one thing I would like to say in the positive of the film. So I thought that the costume design and the hair was all really good.
Well, James yeah. Woods apparently was having quite the... He had his own hairdresser that they were paid extra for him. And you go, really? James Woods' hair, this, was getting special attention?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, his hair's just on his head. Like, there's no, like, particular style.
Michael J. Fox had that weird blonde. He had that weird blonde version in, as an actor, right? He had, like, all different yeah. hair, which is kind of weird to stomach.
By the end of the film, he had that fucking ponytail in...
Version.
Oh, those, like, John Lennon glasses he kept wearing on the fucking...
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah,
contact
yeah.
lenses were freaking me out.
What do you mean?
I'm yeah, so that was used weird. To seeing him just... Oh, I didn't like it. Although I did love him in that T-shirt and the brown... Not brown. Green jacket a la, like, Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just sort of like, I'm an undercover cop. Act, what an actor thinks a cop might look like undercover or something. Yeah. Anyway, the movie does, you know, Michael J. Fox or Nick Lang's people make it happen, and I guess he's rich and famous and people are starstruck by him, and he gets gifted to James Woods as this John Cop guy.
I was really surprised to see a really young Catherine Najimy in this.
She says nothing.
Yeah, I know, she's just there. Everyone knows she's Peggy Hill, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But there were a lot of people who wasted. Like, there's people you go, well, this is a good cast. Why didn't we see more of, like, fucking... Because they have a kind of multicultural bunch of other cops to help.
Yeah.
Look, James Woods is the white Republican aggressive cop, but, you know, there's the sassy woman cop and the hip black cop. And
oh, Penny Marshall.
Yeah, like, the, you know, Louise Guzman is in it, right? As just Mexican guy. And they're all like, look.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just Mexican guy.
But they're all like, look, it's not just white violent cops. They're a team. They're a multicultural team of different types. You know, and they don't really have characters. You just go, is that LL Cool J, huh? He did that song that we've been listening to in the club. Cool.
Yeah,
So it's weird when they do that, when the song by an artist is in a song, but they're in it acting as someone else. So does that mean that there is, like, a separate entity in their universe that is the person who sang the song?
Yeah, is his character just everyone is like, you look a lot like LL Cool J. He's also kind of wasted in this, because he's doing a lot of, like, busy acting in the background, but he doesn't really get to do much apart from his amazing delivery of being excited about the idea of frog dogs.
Frog dogs.
Yeah. That's what they call hot dogs.
Yep. Normal stuff.
We'll get there. I'm saving up my real excitement for that scene. Because it is both the highlight and the low light in the film.
Well, anyway, you know, everyone sees where this film's going. The Hollywood actor who's a star and people love, but James Woods hates because he's, I don't know, appearing on billboards that are in his way when he's trying to drive badly in New York.
Billboards. Huge three-dimensional billboards.
I was going to say, that's not just a billboard, that's a huge, horrible fucking eyesore.
Well, it's the one with a sexy woman on top of the title that gets in his way when he's trying to drive badly in New York for no reason. Or to go on, is he going on a date or something? And he's basically putting the lights on to race and get
it's
around
with,
people.
Yeah, it's with the...
Guzman.
His partner. Susan.
Is it with Susan?
The date he's supposed to be going on. Right. That's the whole...
But he's setting up this idea that he's having a... He's dating a woman, and he's not sure if she doesn't like him that much because he's a cop or because he's a prick. And that's his dilemma, is trying to date this woman, Susan, but he's in a rush to get to it. And then Nick Lang's advertising is a problem for him.
But I think this is the most times I've heard the name Susan said in any piece of media ever.
Yeah, I think you're right.
got a prejudice against Susan's Abbey? What's the matter with you? Are you happy?
Wait, it's just... I don't know. It became conspicuous the number of times they were saying the word Susan, because it was starting to lose meaning. They'd said it so many times.
Well, I mean, there's one particular scene where it's delivered in a very odd way, which is the in the bar when Michael J. Fox does some acting to
role
get
play.
Yes, to get James Woods to open up.
I and liked him pretending to be Susan.
I've talked about the hot dog scene a little bit already, but my other favourite scene of the film is a scene that actually works, is that scene in the bar when Michael J. Fox role plays as Susan, and James Woods has to, like, awkwardly address, like, her through him. And
he doesn't want to look gay in front of a barman as well, or a waiter or something. Because, you know, you dare, God forbid a man chat up a man in New York. Not, I mean, I'm a cop, I can't be gay. We're not gay cops. Like,
Susan.
I loved how long James Woods took to say anything when he was trying to talk as Michael J. Fox, just acting a bit womany.
Yeah. Oh, and Michael J. Fox as well, acting like, basically turned into, like, a very low-key Harley Quinn. Like, it's that like very New York-y accent with a feminine voice.
I like that James Woods gets constantly triggered just because he instinctively is a misogynist, and it just you women. I was like, no, it's just Michael J. Fox with a small drink, asking you normal life questions. Oh, but that's how women get you. They trip you up with their questions. Oh, I was like. I think he was genuinely good help for him, right? Like, if you can't have this conversation, the basic conversation with a person, without getting enraged about nothing.
The thing is, though, it doesn't really pay off.
No, he needs a scene where the date goes better, right? But instead, Michael J. Fox has a good date with him.
I needed to be a little bit more of an epilogue at the end, because it very abruptly just shifts in the last, like, 2 minutes of the film.
Just further to what Anthony was saying about how that scene isn't really paid off, I think that's generally the biggest, like, overarching problem of the film, is a lot of stuff doesn't really pay off. Like, it's a very, like, disorganized...
It's a slapdash buddy cop.
Yeah, and it has, like... It has several directions it can go or starts to go, and then it kind of doesn't. It's the same with the humor as well. Like, there's at the beginning until about halfway, it's a broader kind of sillier comedy with some like drama and intensity like undercutting it. But then it like after about the halfway point. It's especially towards the end, it starts to lean more into the serious stuff and it sort of loses the humor. But because it hasn't done much to build up the drama before that, the drama that comes towards the end is like, well, what the fuck is that? Like, I don't really care. Like, it was more entertaining when it was just being silly. Like, this is not earned. Like, the whole thing of James Woods setting up a fake shooting for Michael J. Fox.
So like, that was a bad move.
Get rid of him and also traumatize him, and then he comes back, and then they're all making fun of him in the office, and he looks all upset.
This is worth further discussion, because that's a big part of the end of the film.
Really.
They should have, like, if he was going to do that, he should have done it much earlier. After they've got to know each other for a bit.
It resolves really quickly because the film only has about 20 minutes left at that point.
And yeah, because there's not time for that kind of awful... Yeah, well, it'll be worth coming back to that once we've talked more about the relationship James Woods and Michael J. Fox's characters have, because I feel like if you're doing elaborate stunts where you fake the death of someone and guilt someone, like, that stuff is so insane to come after the screwball action movie. We'll come back to it, because it's, you know, let's provide more context by chatting about some of the other bits first.
Can we just talk about the hot dog scene?
Right, get it out of your system. What do you want to say?
What the fuck is
that scene about? Why is it like that? Why is it? Why does it seem like the whole film is suddenly building to these hot dogs?
Like, it's like, there, famously, there are 8 bajillion hot dog vendors in New York. They each have a little cart next to the street. But no, they had to go to a junkyard somewhere in New York that has not only a hot dog vendor who sells frog dogs, but also a payphone that is a hot dog.
Why are they called frog dogs?
Because they got frog in them.
They're just hot dogs.
Is this like a 90s normal New York thing that we don't understand, that we're not in on the loop on?
Maybe? I don't know. Like,
I'm frog dog in here.
New York. But like,
Anthony, is this something that did this stand out to you, or is it just us that are like,
were you going to ask if it triggered him? Because it triggered me.
Did it trip you up as like, oh, that's odd, or did you not think about it when they were smashing mustardy hot dogs in their faces?
Oh, honestly, I mean, I'm fascinated why you guys are so fixated on it.
It's not
a huge part of the film. Like, it's just the...
No, but that's the thing, though.
It's just there for Michael J. Fox to see what a real cop eats. And he apparently eats smothered in mustard and ketchup, hot dogs and chips. But it's just, it's in a weird setting.
But it's mentioned a couple of times before this as well.
Like, that's films, though. That films mention things that are going to come up, you know.
No, but they just made it seem significant.
It's New York.
Why are they called frog dogs? Why is there so... And maybe this is my fault for watching it on headphones, but why is there so much heavy Foley on the eating sounds?
It's because it's meant to be sloppy. It's a sloppy steak. Just go for sloppy steaks.
Chewing wet noises and James Woods and Michael J. Fox. Oh, yeah.
There was like that moment where clearly, just as actors, they put too much food in their mouths and needed like just a little bit too long in order to just be able to speak.
And all the like very obviously dubbed in like sounds of like cartoonish. Like, what the fuck is happening? Why is... I feel like this scene is a scene that the writer wrote into like several scripts, just waiting for a chance to put it in. Like, maybe someone he knows owns a hot dog stand that sells frog dogs, and they're like, "I'm gonna put your frog dogs in a movie one day," and he's just like he's that producer who wants to put a giant mechanical spider in something, and eventually he got to put it in Wild West.
I don't think I wouldn't go that elaborate. I was gonna suggest perhaps it's just the guy who failed to convince Kermit the Frog in the Muppet movie. Like, he had those frog's legs restaurants, and the Muppets sort of defeat him, so maybe his franchise just became a shitty hot dog stand in New York. That's what's left of it. Do you remember the frog's legs guy from the Muppet movie?
I don't think I've seen it since I was a child.
And there's a big focus on selling frog's legs with Kermit the Frog as the sponsor. I think it's the Muppet movie. Don't matter. Okay, the hot dog thing is mental, apparently, but not to everyone.
There's so much mustard and ketchup on them.
That's the joke. You're right.
It's not a joke, though.
Yeah, it is. They're sloppy hot dogs.
I understand the traumatic experience that is over Foley in headphones. Oh. So I know where Jamie's coming from.
All right, but I think, you know, I did initially bring it up as like a weird question mark in this film. But I don't want to overstate it, because it's not all that important to the film.
What's also weird is if you search the Hard Way movie on YouTube, the frog dog scene is the first result. So it's not just me.
It's on people's minds. Yeah. I think, okay, to get to a more overarching criticism of this film, the big problem with it, right, is we got these two characters, sort of an odd couple stuck together. James Woods, his comedy is based around him arguing and being annoyed by Michael J. Fox. And Michael J. Fox is very talkative and meant to be annoying, but he's also got enough charm for other people to like him. Plus, his character's famous, so everyone's like, oh, cool. But he's kind of a fumbling idiot who messes James Woods' investigations, meaning beating up teenagers and pulling guns on people.
Yeah.
He messes his Dirty Harry way of investigating up. So they're kind of falling out all the time. That's what the comedy's based on. Now, this movie is based on the idea that the actors from movies, so his movies are extravagant and action-packed and insane, and that James Woods is from the real world, which is grittier and more dangerous. So, you know, it's not for some joke actor to be having ride-alongs. But James Woods, we establish, is in an action movie of his own. He is in Wacky World with a serial killer, and he's hanging off of cars. And like, James Woods can't be an action movie star and Michael J. Fox be an action movie star. It doesn't work if the cop is in insane land. He needs to be in gritty real world. But as we established very early in the film, James Woods is going to get up to all kinds of action-packed scrapes himself. And fights and unnecessary levels of violence for some of the most routine cop things ever.
There isn't... So, I think part of the problem is there isn't enough... Like, the film has a big tonal shift around halfway through, maybe even a bit later than halfway through. And the problem is one big tonal shift doesn't work. What would work, I think, is more like consistent sort of whiplash throughout the film between comedy with Michael J. Fox's character and then like incidences of more like intense violence to really show that contrast. The problem is it does this like buddy comedy thing for a bit and then just shifts permanently until the end, where it then goes back into the comedy again. It's like, well, what the fuck is... I've got nothing to, like, hold on to now.
I don't know that it utterly loses the comedy in the middle. I think it does... It's still there, because we got, like, Michael J. Fox, you've handcuffed me to my bed, and, like, it keeps with the premise that this is a light-hearted film. But I think it is just... There's not enough contrast between what movies are like and what there's no sense that the death matters in the real New York where James Woods is a cop. People whipping out guns and shooting people, oh no, we want to save the day, but also there's no real sad consequences. There's no scenes where the repercussions of the mistakes are being felt by real people because we want to have too much fun, you know, smashing cars and flipping stuff and shooting people, you know, in the streets.
I think You called it, like, you compared it to The Odd Couple. Like, part of the problem for me was that it doesn't do enough of that. Like,
They both are in insane action movies.
That contrast also doesn't really come through enough in their characters. Like, because it goes from Michael J. Fox doing this like ride-along type stuff where he's like getting in the way and also trying to like copy James Woods' mannerisms and then arguing and like all that stuff is
and
fine.
Being surprised, oh no, some actual criminals have endangered me.
Yeah.
And I've bumbled into a crime scene and I'm making it worse and now I'm famous and people are drawn to that.
But like, it then becomes him trying to help him with his relationship with Susan and it's like, well, I don't care, like, what? There's no real comedy or anything.
I think Susan would be better off without this prick cop in her life.
I actually did. I thought whenever she broke up with him later on in the film, I was kind of impressed by that because I thought, like, oh, that's actually not where I expected this to go. But then in the end, she ends up with him anyway. So, like, well, fuck it then. Why even? Who cares?
Have the sort of the Die Hard thing. Where, they'll be together for a while, but then she really will hate the job and then...
the Die Hard with a Vengeance follow-up, where, like, no, she did end up just leaving him. Because he's a complete fucker and really hard to be around.
She's definitely a mistake. Anthony, you're a champion of this, or you at least suggested you had some fun with it. Did you find it a problem. Like either what I'm saying or what Jamie's suggesting, is this tonally a problem, or is it the fact that there's like, is it a problem that they're both kind of wacky action movie heroes rather than one is real and one is wacky? Does this, any of this enter into your mind as something to bother you?
It didn't bother me because I just felt like it was also just satirizing these kinds of films as well.
Oh, so we're playing the old, it's actually quite, it's not just doing the tropes, it's making a point about them and playing up to the tropes, you think?
I think so, yeah.
I think it does at times. It just doesn't do it consistently enough.
Yeah, it's in the script that you can tell, like, there are moments where it's like, oh, all right, I see what you're doing there. But it's almost like they didn't pick up on it, like the director didn't actually notice or...
Yeah,
something. I think there's a difference between lampooning something and just aping the things that already exist. You know.
So this is the I swear this is an apt comparison. I'm not just bringing this up because I'm obsessed. It's just that my wife and I have also been rewatching Twin Peaks, and this is it's a similar problem to like the show begins as a sort of loving pastiche of soap operas. And then in the second season, it just becomes a soap opera and forgets the idea of lampooning or being a pastiche and just becomes the thing. That's kind of my issue with this film, is that, like Abby said, it is in the script, but it is not fully being translated into what's happening on the screen.
Like, an example for me would be of a successful cop satire thing would be, like, Naked Gun is sending up, like cop movies and cop TV shows, right? And it's obviously doing that. This, to me, feels like it wants to have its cake and eat it then. But then, you know, maybe I'm taking it too seriously and you're just enjoying it for being a comedy. Is that would you say that's fair that you... Well, this is a silly action movie and it's having fun, so don't worry about it. Is that what you think, or am I putting too much on you there, Anthony?
No, I mean, that's how I watched it. It was just as a comedy film.
Yeah, no, it is a comedy. I'm not saying it's not a comedy. I just think...
I mean, yes, it's not as subtle as...
Yeah.
It's
not high art or anything.
It's a little more subtle than the parody of Naked Gun.
I was going to say, that's...
I reckon maybe subtlety to a fault, though, where it starts to resemble a kind of Steven Seagal movie. It's more fun than the stuff he does, but, like, I think it wants to just be a fun action movie. It doesn't care that it's not brilliant, or it got all these loose ends. Like, you know, it's not trying hard enough with what it's doing. You know.
Well, that's where I was coming from in the start. So, like I said, I don't think it's a great movie, and I don't think there's any point, or there's very few points where it's hilariously funny. But I just find it constantly smirkable all the way through.
It sort of ticks and over.
When I first started watching it, I looked at the runtime and it was 1 hour 50, and I was like, "Oh God, really?"
Yeah,
but I will say it's got an incredible pace. It does dip slightly in the middle, but it does have
the bad guy getting away all the time, though. Like the way they make it last is going. We caught the guy. Oh no, he got away. Yeah. We caught him. He got away. You know,
this was the point in the film where I was like, how is there this much left?
Well, Michael J. Fox has to climb his own face, is why we have to do an extra bit.
I was so annoyed by that entire sequence of climbing all over this billboard. And again, watching it in headphones, all of the really too loud, like, ADR of them, like, screaming and shouting that you can, like, I can hear the sound booth.
Susan!
Oh, God. And her just, like, screaming in my ears while all
just
this,
turn
like,
the volume down. Calm down.
It doesn't matter, though. It's too... It's, like, it's when ADR is, like, they do it and they mix it too high in the sound mix. so it's much louder than the background noises. Like, why?
I feel like this is a very niche complaint.
Yeah, this is just you don't know how to use your own headphones. I honestly, I didn't pick up on any sort of. I mean, you know, the slapdashness applies to every aspect of the film, but I wasn't like driven mad by the sound or the Foley in this bit over anything else.
I tell you what, I did enjoy in that sequence of the billboard is something that I've always liked since I was a kid. The villain dying via big spectacular fall. Yeah. I don't know why I like it so much, but since I was a kid, I've always loved seeing the villain of a film just like fall off something.
It was also, especially when
you see them land, so you see them like absolutely fucking eat shit on a car or something.
But what is it, like a car transporting a fish tank or something? I don't know. It was like a kind of 1930s slapstick death where Charlie Chaplin fell into a massive prop thing.
It explodes when he lands on it for some reason.
See it earlier in the film. It's just like a weird display thing with mannequins in.
So it's a travelling shop window.
Essentially.
I don't know.
It could have crossed over with the film Mannequin. She could have come to life and... Mannequin comes to life, but then she gets to Weekend at Bernie's with a corpse of this guy's body. That's what I want to see. It's all a bit too ancient.
So specific.
Well, yeah. Well, the scene we're talking about as well, we say billboard, it's the animatronic three-dimensional smoking face of... I guess Michael J. Fox in a Trilby.
He kind of looks like a mish.
They hang off the brim of the hat. I mean, we don't even know where he's just. Is it Susan's kidnapped or something? And then he's up there.
Well,
he phones up and tells them about it or something because that's his thing.
There's fucking four conclusions to this film with Stephen Lang, and they all happen in quick succession in the last like 15 minutes of the film.
But they do every bit they can. They like hang off the eyeball, smash through the brim of the hat.
Hang on, the cigarette
dangling on the broken cigarette, you know, it's all very ha-ha-ha, I love it.
Like, I know they set up the billboard a lot, but did anyone else think the film was ending whenever there was the chase in the cinema with the Nick Lang film?
Yeah, when the Nick Lang film's playing and...
I was like, oh, this has to be the end.
I liked the joke of Nick Lang going, I'm going to copy the film and swing on the curtains like I am swinging in the movie. And then he doesn't do anything, he just hits the screen and breaks it. And then everyone runs out, there's one kid eating pop. That's the end of your film. When he flipped the cop car and he caught the guy. There's loads of endings where we could have just gone mercifully finish it now, please.
I love the way he went completely off the deep end mentally and started just driving faster and deliberately crashed his car. I was like, he's gone insane. He's absolutely crashed.
And all they do is one of them screams, stop the car. The other one's like, put the gun down. And they just flip. They smash through loads of really terrible set-up stunt tables with bits of watermelon. It's the New York watermelon and frog hot dog stalls.
I was very impressed that the stunt team managed to work out. They, like, go into the air, spin, and there's some boxes on the ground where they're not going to land, but they do hit corner of the car.
Yeah.
And then
highlight the car flip, because like this, you know, this film isn't massively like action movie kind of, you know, it's not a fucking Mad Max film, but that car flip is fantastic. Like,
it looks good. It's what those type of car flips look like. I mean, it's as implausible as anything in this film. But I mean, it looks
implausible
fine.
That they're not both dead.
At least it's a practical stunt.
Yeah, it's just.
What's weird is, why does Nick Lang get to drive? We'll talk about the heart-wrenching betrayal and unethical ruse they pull. But off the back of that, Nick Lang comes back and then is driving a cop car to go and find John. And so, why is he in a cop? How does he get keys to a cop car? How is this just actor driving on his own in a cop car? Why is that allowed?
I think because they've allowed him...
a gun access. And
no, they didn't. Else. They didn't allow him a gun.
He took a gun.
James Woods allowed him a gun. That's not the same thing.
Because he has a rubber gun for a bit, and it doesn't. Yeah, there's a whole bit.
But as someone shadowy James Woods, it would make sense for him to have access to the cars in case their car breaks down.
But he's left. He comes back. It doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, so he just took a car from the carpool.
Carpool. Yeah,
because he's allowed to drive.
And he's, yeah. What's he going to do? Is he like going to, he's going to confront John about you tricked me? Well, let's talk about
it. He's going to punch him in the face 8 times.
8 times?
And again, okay.
He does punch him in the face 8 times, though. Hooray.
That...
And then James Wood says, "Oh, I hate when he does that. Punches you in the face."
Yeah, that was a
There's a lot of punching in the face. And they just go, this is too Hollywood now. Like, the Nick Lang films could have punching in the face like this. But the constant punching in the face with no consequences.
With
and
that specific sound.
Yeah, that was so good. What are we doing?
I don't know if I've seen Michael J. Fox successfully punch anyone.
Doesn't he do it in Back to the Future at some point?
Yeah, just the one big one at the end. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, he punches Oh, you're right. That's Crispin Glover. Yeah.
He dumps
In the third film he does, though.
Well,
in the third film he does punch Biff.
Finally. Yes. That's how the franchise ends.
Yeah. the underrated third film. Anyway.
Like you said that as if to try and goad someone into an argument.
I thought you would pick it up.
When have I ever expressed not liking the Back to the Future franchise?
I don't know, there's time travel in it, so I'm sure you have some problems.
They're unpredictable that way, Rich, as well. There's stuff you think you love and you're like, I fucking hate it, and vice versa.
I like the Back to the Future movies, but in the normal way that I don't think the third one is the best. But you didn't say that. You said it was underrated, so I'm like, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
We're on the same page.
Second one's overrated. Anyway,
you're trying to go, no one's expressing it. We all like Back to Future the correct way.
So the bit in the cinema, the whole like the swinging, fucking it up and stuff. Yeah. If Stephen Lang's character had been either killed or just properly arrested there,
right?
And then this scene where he punches James Woods a bunch of times, and then with like whatever it is that's left of the film, like 15 minutes, is reconciliation. Between James Woods and Annabella, between John Moss and Susan, and some kind of resolution and reconciliation between Michael J. Fox and James Woods, and then that leading into whatever the movie Michael J. Fox is in that's inspired by James Woods' character, blah, blah, blah. That is a much more satisfying ending. But what we get is the film doesn't end there. Stephen Lang escapes, and then the car chase, and then you think, oh, Michael J. Fox's character is the one who ends up catching the villain. Nope, he's fucking gone again. And then we get the breakup scene in the apartment, and then Stephen Lang's in the lift, and then Michael J. Fox turns up and they're fighting again, and then we get the bit on the billboard, and I'm like, what the fucking end?
You sort of expect him to get away after he crashes into the display car thing. You go, is he going to get up out of that? Is that like a cushioning blow, the landing on a mannequin or whatever?
Yeah, fucking, it doesn't stop. It keeps going.
Well, but of all the things, though, that I'm like cut for time, it's this, okay, I get it. Michael J. Fox is annoying. You've handcuffed him to a bed. He might have accidentally stole your girlfriend by being more charming than you. Oh, this guy.
I liked the way that Michael J. Fox screamed at the bed.
If you've got an annoying actor and you are handcuffs, yeah, that's not too bad, is it? I mean, it's bad, but it's not like it's a solution.
I agree that it was mean of him to not handcuff him closer to the toilet.
Yes, he's just going to end up pissing on the floor out of spite.
In your room, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, James Woods wants to get on with proper police work, like caving people's heads in with a gun butt or something. And his boss has been like, nope, ha ha ha, you have to have this actor with you. My wife loves him. You know, like, the comedy is built on this premise that James Woods is burdened with him. And so the fact that he stoops so low as to like, oh, how can I get rid of this guy? I'm going to fake the death. I'm going to get a colleague we haven't seen. I'm going to accidentally get him shot. Like, I'm going to hope I'm going to hope that this actor is scared enough to pretend to fire a gun. Fake, like,
yeah.
We're gonna fake the death of our guy who's pretending, okay, so just get it clear. James Woods is seemingly chasing a criminal. Michael J. Fox thinks the criminal comes out of the building and shoots him, but he's not a criminal. He's an innocent person fleeing, and now he's guilty of committing a murder, but it's okay. Because James Woods is going to cover it up, because it would look worse or something if it all comes out. It's the best thing to do is go back to Hollywood, live with the guilt forever, and I'll say I shot him, and it won't look so bad if a cop shot a guy fleeing a crime. Should still be a problem, a huge investigation. But that's all like a clever trick that doesn't make any sense.
No, it's so elaborate
morally. Awful.
I mean, that's a whole other fucking discussion, because just on a basic level, it's assuming the right things will happen at the right time. It's so elaborate, but also like not something you can definitely plan to go a particular way.
It didn't fall for it for a sec, because as soon as the guy, soon as they're like, oh, he's not the criminal, you're like, yeah. Oh, well, you couldn't possibly have the hero of the film murder an innocent civilian. There's no, unless this is a fake out, there's absolutely no way the film connect. Like, this film is not ending with this, and then Michael J. Fox, Nick fucking Lang has murdered someone, covered it up. You know, it's not going in that direction.
I thought for a minute the film was going to take another, like, weird turn where they were both going to end up in Los Angeles.
Oh, right, so he goes back to LA, and the criminals...
And for some reason, James Woods has to follow him to LA, where they continue their misadventure.
Oh, like, that's the sequel.
Yeah.
The hard way LA style.
Yeah, I got really annoyed by this, because it also pretends you don't know that it's fake for a long time. So he follows Michael J. Fox all the way to the airport, and I'm like, I know, please, just freaking move on.
Yeah, and it doesn't have much, like when, he twigs that it's, he's like on the plane and he twigs, or what's the thing?
He
has a moral, at least that's something, is he doesn't want to get, he's not like a spineless prick, he wants it to be out there because it's too much. I guess James Woods or John or whatever is like, oh, this spineless Hollywood prick won't. He'll happily just avoid jail time and live with it. But it was
fair assumption.
Yeah, I suppose. How many Hollywood actors have killed people and got away with it and just living with the guilt now? Fuck. All right, good point. But like, you know, this is just to have a scene where he comes back and, oh, he's the sad little bullied kid who all the cops tricked. You go, well, you're all... I mean, we all knew cops were awful, but this is really awful. And it's just like a high school bully scene. And you're just like, oh, this is... We don't need
There's also no consequences for any of them.
Yeah.
And also none of them really catch this.
Why would you even believe him? Like, you start... Like, a guy's murdered and he's on you and James... Oh, just... I don't know. Anthony, as someone who enjoyed the film... Is this an element you're like, this is fine, don't worry about it? Or is this, like, something not worth... Does it change the tone too much, do you agree? Or, like, is it... What are you on about, guys? Go back to talking about the hot dogs being silly.
You just drop.
No, I mean, like... I have to agree. Up until this point, I think the pacing of the whole film was really well done. Mm-hmm. It just kind of, like, flowed really well. And then this was just, like, a stopping, jarring thing. And like you said, it's obviously not going to end like this in this film, where it's been pretty neatly a comedic tone all the way through until this point.
Yeah, even when people are doing violence and getting killed, it's it's no big deal, violence. And then this is suddenly emotionally very sad.
Yeah, even like there weren't much. There's only been like two real scenes before this where they were kind of like involved in crime, like the gang bit.
There's the Asian gang on a big. There's like a gang of Asian guys who have guns, and they steal all the parts off of James Wood's first car,
and then do a drive by to get his phone.
Yeah,
which I thought was a bit like petty.
But they're all played broadly. Yes. Comedic.
It's really so, silly, wacky movie world.
Yeah. And so then even in the end, like the bit, you know, the bit in the cinema and in the on the billboard.
Yeah.
It's all still broadly comedic. So having this bit does upset the whole balance of the film, unfortunately.
How long is this whole scene as well? Because like, if you cut it, you still would have a film that's like over an hour and a half. Like.
Yeah, yes, I mean, you don't need it. And also,
I don't think it's as long as you're making out. I think there's only like a good 5 minutes of the film where
it's a detour that doesn't need to be there. That's the other trouble, it doesn't set up this. We don't even know what's going on. Like Michael J. Fox shoots a guy. It was like, why are you shooting a guy? You don't know what's happening. Like you love fucking James Woods so much, you're gonna murder whoever comes out of fear. Like it just seems like odd.
Like I said, it's relying on him definitely shooting.
Yeah,
which it's bizarre. He may not. Also, did that cop have like a movie prop squib?
Squibs on it. Like we set in that. Yeah,
I was gonna mention.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Also, the guy has to corpse in a blood of rubbish. He thinks it's hilarious. Like, oh, then I fell down the stairs and I landed on him. It's like, yeah. And then did he feel you breathing? Like, are you fucking?
Yeah. What?
He's also significantly bigger than Michael J. Fox. It could have killed him.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have been a good ending for James Woods' character to be like, yeah, good, he's dead because you landed on him. Problem solved.
And then they could have weakened Bernsie at the end.
I like that you're on board with it. It has to lead into Weekend at Bernie somehow. two plot elements that are there that are they're fine. There's no problem. It's just details to get the action movie give it some purpose. And so one is there's a silly gun that the killer has. That's the sort of first lead. Is he has a funny gun, so we should find the funny gun dealer who's just some old black man in an urban environment.
I looked at this actor because he's really familiar. His name's Conrad Roberts. Yeah, the character is called Witherspoon, which
that's very odd for people in Britain with a chain of shitty pubs.
That's Witherspoon. But,
sorry, mate.
Yeah, the only other Witherspoon I've ever heard of is Reese Witherspoon, the actress.
She's not a Brexit-loving landlord of pubs. I thought they're one and the same.
But yeah, this guy, he was in Mosquito Coast, which I think is a previous episode. He's been in Scorpion King
and fucking The Mask of Zorro.
A few things.
But not loads either. Maybe TV, I don't know.
I'm trying. Is that his real voice, or is he putting that on for the character, is what I wanted to know.
I just put it down to be quite an old man.
Yeah, I don't. Like,
I don't.
Maybe he just got the direction of sound cool and weird. But he's just, he makes special silver weapons with extra bits with lasers and things on. And he sells them to teenage boys and or serial killers. And he's used as bait by James Woods. But he's like, oh, hello, I'm a normal person who wants to buy a gun. Great, come with me. Ha ha, I've got you. I'm going to slam your hand in something and force, go, you make sure you go to where I say and act as bait to get the serial killer. You arrange a time to meet the killer.
I'm going to get you killed.
Yeah. And also, the killer will definitely come when you say you want to sell him a weapon. He's got a weapon and he's using it. But you tell him, meet me to have another weapon and I'll be there and catch him. Good. Great plan. That'll definitely work. No one's getting covered in petrol if this goes wrong. And then the other aspect, obviously, we've talked about a bit with Susan and her daughter, and the various.
Oh, Christina Ricci.
So
she, the whole thing with her was so unnecessary to the
underbaked. Yeah, which is a shame because Christina Ricci, like one of the things about her is how good an actor I mean, she's good anyway, but like when she was a child, she was like uncannily good. Mm. And this as well, she is really good. Like it all comes across as very genuine.
But what is she there for? Just to like
scenes? No, that's what I mean. Like she's another character that's just like introduced and like, oh, there's some potential here, and then she's just gone.
Maybe it's too, because James Woods is of a certain age making this film and a prick cop. He can't have too, like, maybe it's the woman he's dating has to be more real, and therefore, you know, she's at least had a kid. She's not just some hot woman that he's, it's like, you know, she's like a normal person who he has to act like a normal person around, not, you know, just.
I mean, I think the intention is to add some kind of weight to the idea that Susan is partly put off eventually because of the amount of violence in his life, and she has this little girl that she doesn't want to. She says it later on.
Yeah, dad stays. Yeah, she's not just a femme fatale. She's like a woman who needs a bit of safety and security, not a swearing, violent prick.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that, like, the film does, like, not a ton, but Susan does come across like a person. Like, she's not just his love interest. Like, she has a life of her own. She has, like...
But we can't have a normal character with Mr. Tie Your Dicks in a Knot and fucking chew bubblegum in your ass.
Yeah.
And,
again...
Like, Mr. Anger Management Action Hero Cop is insane and should not be with normal woman with daughter, you know?
No, she's absolutely right to break up with him, and it's actually kind of sad that she ends up with him in the end. The other thing as well, speaking of, like, unnecessary, like, darkness to a film that doesn't have enough of a balance between that and the humour, is the fact that it introduces Witherspoon, the gun guy, with, like, his daughter, who he gets for, he gets like visitation or whatever, so so it sets up that this guy has this young daughter who he's not neglecting her, like, so they clearly have a relationship, and then he just gets fucking shot. So presumably this like small child is now dealing with that because of James Woods's like irresponsible behavior, working a case he's not supposed to be working on. But we never get any consequences or anything from that. It just happens, and then it's like, well, moving on.
If they did a sequel now, it would be about that little girl having been raised by the big guy with no tongue, and she's out for revenge.
Yeah, she's Christ. The serial killer now.
What would it be called? The Harder Way, I guess. And they finally start to deal with the consequences of being a ridiculous cop.
Yeah, it's The Hard Way. It's The Harder Way, and then Hard Way with a Vengeance.
The Hard Way too. Harder.
Harder still. It becomes like an old cop, and he needs to get hard. have jokes about popping Viagra. And...
I could see James Woods having a podcast and being sponsored by Blue Chew.
I can see James Woods very much not having a career after Black Lives Matter has become come and gone. this film is very much for, like, I was saying in the chat while I was watching it that, yeah, this is for Blue Lives Matter fans. This is, yeah, cops just fucking killing people and doing what's right to stop the villains who are murdering everyone and probably killing just as many people as the murderer
The thing is, though, like, it almost has consequences. Like, it dances around the idea that, like, he's a miserable fuck-up.
Yes.
But then it doesn't...
But he's also a hero, though. But we can't... Yeah. It's more... The trouble is, they all think that this kind of cop is... The movie thinks this cop's cool, so fuck you. He's cool. We also think action hero stars are cool, so he's cool. Like, they're both cool guys. They're just buddies who are not... They don't get on because they hate each other. But they're going to get on because they've been through enough violence together.
Michael J. Fox gets shot.
Yeah, you respect him more now because he's, you know, not... Because they have the whole thing on the train as well where Michael J. Fox at some point with Susan, because he's pretending to be a cop, she thinks he is one, or like James Woods' partner. And there's just a whole unnecessary, overly violent teenage gang on the tube. Oh, and that fucking joke where everyone in New York has a gun.
Oh, I laughed at that. I was going to say, I thought that was a good joke where it's like, everyone on the subway pulls a gun.
See, that...
That's why I was surprised earlier on when James Wood said he wants to carry around a loaded weapon. I was like, there are people in New York who don't carry around a loaded weapon.
You fucking kind of have to.
That's because he's a frou-frou, like, you know, West Coast Hollywood
liberal
guy.
Hollywood liberal.
New Yorkers are all right because they're on the East Coast. They're hard and real. That's why he doesn't like... That's what explains that, I guess. Anthony, did you enjoy the James Woods, I'll show you up in front of actual criminals and walk down a teenager with a gun and, you know, all that business? Was it just funny japes?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rich?
I like that.
To be honest. They shot the magazine stall and it hit Michael J. Fox's character. He's right next to his own face getting shot. That's what I think. Rubbish comedy for babies, Anthony. You like broad, silly rubbish comedy. Stand up for yourself, man.
You were just talking about the Naked Gun films.
They're good, shut up.
Can I speak?
They are, but it's also very funny.
I was going to say that scene actually has the tone I wanted it to have the whole time.
Yes.
Where James Woods is doing something like brave and... like top where Michael J. Fox is like hiding behind pictures of his own face from things. He's got like a rubber gun.
That's because that was the premise of the film to begin with, and it sort of forgot what he was doing, I think.
This
film gets distracted by too many other things. It should have been about those two guys trying to get a serial murderer. It didn't need to be about anything else.
Well, I tell you what, Abby.
It's really overcomplicated.
Got a film for you, Abby. Showtime with Robert De Niro and Eddie Murphy, where they at least understand the premise, I think.
Or like, I feel like as a sort of parody of action movie stuff, you know, Hot Fuzz is a much better version of a similar idea.
Yeah. But again, like they know the tone there. We're having fun. We're doing small town, big action movie. Like, you know, British. Parochial, you know, it's like we get the premise, we get the joke, and it's fun throughout. This one, it's fun, but in a like, what are we doing? why is everything happening the way it is? Why is the tone so bizarre? And why is everything sort of half baked?
I think your use of the term slapdash is very apt. Like, that's definitely like.
I just want a tighter script and better motivation and just not just we need this, that.
It's
we
very
need,
thrown together in a lot of ways.
We got the ingredients of a standard action buddy cop movie and a premise that could be quite satirical, but we're not going to worry about it. Just make it. Get the
That's
actors
what I was gonna
bouncing
say.
Off
it's
each other.
Like, they were so close. They had they had everything they needed and they didn't do it.
I don't know. Yeah, but the question, I guess, is did it work out? Like, is it still enjoyable? I have landed on no. It was quite grating. There's only so much bants I can take from these two arguing. Like,
bants.
Fucking hilarious jokes. Oh, he's talking shit in the men's room. Why won't he shut up? I'm just a cop trying to have a wee. Oh, I've got my cock out in front of him. Ho-ho! Good stuff. I wasn't having a chuckle. I'm sorry. And the action is like any traditional action movie, but sometimes a little cornier. I don't know. And it's also, it lives in wacky movie land all the time. And I wanted that. That was the main thing. You need to contrast James Woods' real action movie world with the insane action of like the movie that's at the end of this movie where Michael J. Fox has learned to copy... That one scene where James Woods flies off the handle and says some impassioned, cliched cop stuff about how... he basically gives a laundry list of reasons why people aren't sympathetic towards cops and how terrifying they are. Because they just care about... Cops are in the... Anyone could shoot you if you're a cop. You could be given a parking ticket and a guy could whip out a gun and kill you and you go, yeah, but you're a cop with a gun, and most people are just pedestrians, so please don't shoot me in the face, because I'm angry with you, cop. Like, it's just that weird, he has that speech, and it's just the mentality of cops had better kill everyone to keep themselves safe, that everyone's so pissed off about now, you know, like, and it just in the 90s, it was like, yeah, that's a heartwarming speech about being a cop and what it really means to be a hero, and it's like, ooh, it's terrifying. Maybe it's me being too woke and liberal and stuff.
No, I get it. Like, this is middle of the pack for me, because, like, it hasn't aged well because of events. I've also seen stuff that's a lot worse. So it just falls in that sort of, like, six.
Yeah, I know, Jimmy. I think you're right, yeah. Abby. It's not so bad it's offensive. And it doesn't... It's got enough of the ingredients to entertain. It's just... It could have been more. It could have been better. But I don't think anyone cared. I think whoever directed it or wrote it, and I think everyone just thought, oh, this is quite fun, isn't it? Yeah, that'll do. Bye. Cash on checks, please.
Hey, debuted at number 3 behind Silence of the Lambs.
Really?
Yeah, but how long did it stay there?
Good point. It doesn't say.
Number 3 with a bullet. I mean, still bragging about being number 3.
Mm. I mean, it made $65.6 million, so...
And it is a lot more cheerful than Silence of the Lambs.
Was this? Like, was this, is this
I can see how some people would choose that of the two.
Is this a flop or not? Like, no one has heard of it, right? But it wasn't a flop.
No, it wasn't a flop. It just it didn't really stick around. Did fine. It just, then people didn't care.
Very throwaway.
It is a movie that exists.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know, I'm somewhere between where Rich is and where Anthony is, I think. Like, I didn't dislike it. Mostly, I... Like, it just... It started to feel kind of flabby and overdone. I enjoyed it, like, for the first sort of 40-ish minutes, I think. It was, it kept things going fairly well, and they did, like, I think James Woods and Michael J. Fox do have really good chemistry together. I think the film almost doesn't do enough to really make the most of it. Like, there are a few standout scenes where they have some really good back and forth. Like, the, not to bring it up again, but the frog dog scene, once they sit down and start, like, actually talking and having, like, back and forth, and him, like, trying to copy James Woods' mannerisms and all that stuff. And then the bit in the bar where he's pretending to be Susan and trying to get James Woods to open
that
up.
That was a good bit, yeah.
All that stuff is really good. And you can tell, like, they work together really well. They have a similar, like, energy to them. And there is, like, they sort of understand how to bounce these characters off each other. The film gets bogged down in unnecessary stuff. Like, it should be just much more streamlined and more focused just on them.
I can watch. We should watch the TV show where Woods and Jay Fox are cops together. I'd watch that. But every week they get into argumentative scrapes as the odd couple cops. But I don't know, as a standalone, I don't know.
I also wish there was a little bit more with some of the other cops, because, like...
They're there to be used. I was interested in the blonde woman, as a like, she was, like, the husky-voiced one of
That's
the guys' cops.
I was
going to
say, I was interested because she has a husky, sexy voice.
No, but, like, you don't often get that, like, tough New York blonde woman cop. Like, there's always something patronising about... But she's part of the team, and none of them... are worried about her being a woman. She's one of the many competent detectives. I mean, he's a lieutenant, but, like, I guess they're detectives or something.
And
but we don't see much
good,
of them.
Delroy Lindo.
He mainly just laughs in James Woods' face when he James Woods wants to get rid of this shitty actor who's following him because he's annoying.
What does he call Michael J. Fox's character when he's not there? Like a bomb or something?
What's he call him? Fuck.
He calls him. It's jizz something. It was just really jizz, like, I was surprised at how gross it was, yeah, for like that. An early 90s
buddy cop movie. But I liked, even though it's very corny, I liked the thing about him being a huge fan of Michael J. Fox and having the,
I think,
like,
he was joking, right? Birch. Was he? Because why he was doing that to wind up James Woods, right?
I don't know. He was.
No, but later on, he's got the jacket.
Oh,
he just,
yeah,
sort of, he ends up on a good thing. Even if he wasn't sincere to begin with, he's getting lots of free stuff to be bribed. So now he's just like, well, now I like the guy. He gave me loads of free things.
How much, Jack, and you could own Costas on eBay to get hold of the good, the badge, and the ugly hat that he wears at the end? That's got to be a good prop to have.
That was the other thing as well. I wish the in-movie movie was called The Hard Way. Like, to me, that's a clever
Why is this film called The Hard Way? Because it's... Is there an easy way?
James Woods chose The Hard Way.
Which was what?
Well, yeah, the chief says, you know, because I guess it's a thing the chief says all the time. He's like, we could do this the easy way. And then James Woods, like, rolls his eyes, is like, all The Hard Way.
But hard way is be a little bitch about it the whole time.
Yeah, complain constantly.
Yeah, the easy way is to just have it be annoying for you.
Basically, yeah. You would think that he'd like the opportunity to have 2 weeks where he could just relax a bit. I know he wants to get the killer, but it means he doesn't have to do any of the other bullshit that he has to do in a week.
Yeah, he can take his bike out for a cycle because he keeps his... In his flat that Michael J. Fox comes into, it's quite a nice, spacious flat.
Yeah, he's like,
and he's like, what a mess. It's really tidy.
No, it isn't. No, the joke is that it's really nice and tidy, and he's really surprised. Yeah,
he keeps his bike. Oh right, I did not. I was confused by it. But I like that James Woods keeps his bike in a small plant in his apartment. Just looking at it, going, so what's in the middle of your apartment? You just got a bike in a plant.
Hey, look, 90s interior design. I don't
know. Can you imagine James Woods just cycling around New York?
I feel like a 90s James Woods would have cycled, but a 2000s and on James Woods would see it as gay and would refuse. That's another one of those little jokes that I did like, that it subverted the idea that, like, well, yeah, of course he's gonna live in an alcohol-soaked, like, cigarette-stained shit all of an apartment, but it's actually really nice, and Michael J. Fox is like, oh.
I thought it was sarcasm. I didn't pick up on the sarcasm. I thought it was like a bad. I was just looking at the apartment going, no, it's fine. What are you talking about?
Nice. No, that was the joke.
So Richard's problem is that he's sarcasm blind because he's so sarcastic. You can't even. That's sad.
He's immune to it. Just,
what is sarcasm, guys? I don't know.
One of the things I liked is, like, James Woods, like, he got drunk when he was unhappy. He smoked a bit. But that was as far as it went. He wasn't like a terrible drunk, and he wasn't smoking like 50 cigarettes a day.
One of the jokes was he's trying to quit, and every time he starts, he throws the cigarette away because he's trying to stop, because he's trying to appeal to Susan and quit smoking. And then I was surprised. Did they do any reference to the fact that she was dangling off of a cigarette? Like, I feel like there was an opportunity. If you're going to have her dangle off a cigarette and he's tried to quit smoking, are we not working a gag in here?
Yeah, there's a pun.
That just is the gag, I think. You don't need to put a hat on
a
hat.
It's just a visual pun. I don't know, but it wasn't that clever. It was just relevant. There's a difference between having a good bit and, like, just connecting two dots, you know? Like,
if it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, there would have been a pun.
You should quit
smoking.
That
is the standard that I take.
Smokes on us.
It would have been, James Woods is good in this mostly. I think the issues that come from it are the script more than the performance. But I think some of the, like, alternate casting choices sound really, really interesting as well, as like Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman would be entertaining, but also there's a bit too much. Like, these are guys who shouldn't be dangling off of, like, trucks that are driving and shouting, shoot this guy, shoot him in the head. Like you need a younger guy, do you not? I don't know. Maybe I can't imagine Gene Hackman sliding along the floor, dangling out of a...
Jack Nicholson was another one.
Wacky. I can see him being annoyed by Michael J. Fox quite easily.
I could that, yeah, the chemistry may not have worked, because I can see Jack Nicholson being annoyed enough at him that it would just make the film awkward, whereas apparently James Woods really liked Michael J. Fox and found it hard to pretend to be annoyed at him all the time.
It seemed like that helps for the buddy element, though, doesn't it, where...
Yeah.
Which is all the weirder that he wanted to fake a death of someone. It's like, nah, you wouldn't. You guys secretly do like each other, even though you're annoyed by him constantly.
I would have wanted someone, I don't think this lines up age-wise, but someone with a similar vibe to like Sidney Poitier, so that there's a real contrast between the two of them.
So more of an intense, quiet... Yes,
Sidney Poitier being absolutely gritty, real just lieutenant.
Fucking, yeah.
And then this prick, like young, yappy little Hollywood bell end. Yeah, that would work. I don't know. Anthony, you got any casting suggestions you would have liked to have seen, or last thoughts if you haven't?
Honestly, I wouldn't change the casting, because I think the best part about this is Michael J. Fox and James Woods.
They are enjoyable
together. Like, James Woods' energy and Michael J. Fox's charm is what kind of like elevates it. The way that I'm coming from it is that it's clearly everyone was handed a less than average script.
Yeah.
And they just all decided we're going to put all the effort in and we're going to turn this below average script into a competent, almost good film.
People were having fun making this, you get a sense, anyway. Like, it's definitely a let's... No, it doesn't feel like people are sleepwalking through it. It's just this. It isn't good to begin. And, it's like the premise isn't... They haven't got a good script, isn't it? Like, and that's the problem.
Yeah, and they very could easily have sleepwalked through this whole thing. Yeah. The whole thing just smacks of, you know, we can just rush this out and it, you know, it might turn a profit. But I really feel like everyone is putting in the effort.
It always, you get this, some, I don't know if this is a three-picture deal thing, but whenever someone's doing the last movie of a contract and they just have to get it done so that they can move on, there's a 50-50 split between the ones that are just dreck because nobody wanted to make them and the ones where people are like, fuck it, I'm just going to have some fun. And it actually turns out all right.
I think there's a lot of people who are making this and their fingers crossed. This could be like, if we're lucky, this could be like Lethal Weapon.
I was about to make the exact same comparison.
The fact that they mention it in the fact they mention it in the film is telling. But I do think looking at the script, seeing who you're cast with, you know, it might not even be the fact that they didn't get their first choices for whoever. But this is definitely like you never know. The gods of Hollywood could land us with a bankable franchise that people want to see us in again and again. Like, you know, even like Rush Hour or something, where they're like, oh, yeah, there's more of these in the tank. But yeah, even though it, you know, people did see it, apparently. Like, I mean, Anthony found it in a bargain bucket. That's how it came to us. But like, this feels like a would have been ignored at the box office.
Well, like
something
else
more interesting was coming out.
Like I said, this is your, when you're 8 or 9 years old, this is a film your friend's dad has on VHS, and it's one of his favourite films.
Maybe in the cinema, a newly divorced dad takes his son and his stepson to go see it because he's got for the weekend. It's my time with the kids, Susan. I'm going to go and
get... Susan. My divorced dad took me and my sister to see Miss Congeniality in the cinema. Which I feel like is a very similar thing to what you're describing.
Pretty much. Yeah, anyway. So we've done Hard Way the long way. We've chatted about it probably as long as the film. Maybe not once it's edited, I don't know. But yeah, it gave us a lot to chat about. That's the main thing.
That's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. We want to chat about films. Don't matter if good, bad, or good, bad, or ugly. We'll talk about them. And I like the ones that give us plenty to whinge or, you know, begrudgingly admit
the
one, was good.
The ones that always get the most meat are the ones that are so close to being good.
Yeah,
like
there's something about a tonal problem that makes a good chat.
Yeah.
Oh, you were so close to success. Chuck it on the bonfire. Fucking rubbish. No. Anyway, that's the hard way. Join us again for another chat about another film another time. Toodles. Kisses. Love you. No, love you really, honestly now. Mwah, mwah. Bye.
Bye-bye.
It was a goose that hit Fabio in the face, not a seagull.
Thank you, fact-checking Santa. You've been goosed, not in the good way.
Hold on, a goose doesn't squawk, it honks.
You honk. Yeah, I can't do my voice, it's too fragile.
They also hiss.
They hiss. If they made enough sound, you'd dodge it, though, wouldn't you? FBO did not hear that honk come in.
He was on a fucking roller coaster.
Well, also, it's the ghost's fault.
You could have seen it clearly coming out his face. It could have been honking, and he's just like, this is just that.
We're on the track. The track is taking us to it. Anyway. Good then.